Now open with me in the Word of God to the New Testament book of 1 Peter. For those visiting with us, we are working through in our evening worship services the first and second books of Peter. We're in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be looking this evening at verses 13 through 17. And for context, I'll begin reading in verse 9 of chapter 2, and then reading through verse 17. To remind you that God Himself speaks most clearly to His people in the reading of His Word. So let us give attention to His Word and our God speaking to us as people. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the King. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. God, we thank you that you do not leave us to grope about in the dark as Christians living in this world, but you give us timely instruction. Help us as those who are a holy nation to understand from this text how we are to live in this world, how we are to relate to civil government, how we are to do so for the Lord's sake, how we are to do so to not only honor those that you have placed in authority over us, but ultimately to honor you, our God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the sermon asks a question: how should Christians relate to civil government? It's a pretty loaded question when you think about it. How should Christians relate to civil government? And by civil government, I just mean earthly governments. We have a civil government here. The nation, the United States has a civil government. The state of Missouri that we're in has a government. The city of Kansas City has a government. And there's always been, I think throughout the history of God's people, a certain tension between earthly governments and God's people. We see that tension in the Old Testament, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon. We read earlier as Jeremiah wrote a letter to those who were in captivity in Babylon. It's been experienced by God's people in the New Testament. Certainly as we read 1 Peter here, we have to understand, and we'll look at this. He was writing to a certain people who had been dispersed, who he calls pilgrims, who are living in the Roman Empire, under Roman emperors. And in many nations since, there has been this tension. And even in our nation, where we have had a lot of religious liberty, there's still this tension that is experienced. We live in a nation that we might say was born from the ashes of revolution. We hear revolution and we think, well, that's a horrible thing. We think of that happening in some other country. But we had the Revolutionary War, didn't we? And so we were born out of this revolution. And we might therefore say that in our nation, there is a bit of a revolutionary spirit. To use a phrase, a bit of a don't tread on me attitude. And we have to understand that although this spirit of independence, and we celebrate on July 4th Independence Day, this spirit of independence has been helpful and served a purpose in bringing about this nation, we must ask the question, is it proper for Christians to have this attitude toward civil government. What attitude should we have toward civil government? There's a tension that exists, and sadly this tension, if you've been paying attention, has increased over the last few years, hasn't it? We've seen many things going on, particularly around this global pandemic. The public ordinances that were issued, whether it's by the local governments, state governments, federal governments. The more I study this, the more I think of these instructions that we're going to look at tonight. The more I'm convinced that had people truly understood what God is saying here by the Holy Spirit through Peter, that we would have perhaps avoided some of the disagreements, avoided some of the divisions that have happened in churches, that have even happened in our own denomination. Thank God they haven't happened here, but they have. And so how are we as Christians to relate to civil governments? Does God even tell us? Yes, He does, thankfully. It's very practical instruction here. He doesn't leave us to figure it out on our own. He tells us, this is how I want you as my people to live in this world. Now, a couple of wrong ideas that we may have as to how we relate to civil government. And the first wrong idea is this idea that we are to, as Christians, leave our earthly nations and go and live in isolation and set up our own shadow governments. Well, I'm going to go buy an island and I'm going to go set up another nation and we're going to have all of these rules and regulations. That's a wrong concept. But an equally wrong concept is the idea that we are somehow as Christians to take over whatever nation that we're a part of. Whether it's by politics or by force. But the correct idea that Scripture brings forth is that we are to live as dual citizens. Dual citizens. Much like the nation of Israel in Babylon. We read that earlier. Jeremiah 29:7. Pray for the city in which you live. Pray for the peace of that city. As Peter tells us, we are a holy nation. Scripture elsewhere says that our citizenship is in heaven. And that's what Peter is going to bring out here in verses 13 through 17. How is it that we, as citizens of heaven, live as citizens of whatever nation we find ourselves in on the earth? And he's really fleshing out what we looked at a few weeks ago in verse 12. What does it mean to have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles? Recall that Gentiles are those who are outside of the church. The world is watching. Unbelievers are watching. What does it look like, particularly with regard to submitting to human rulers, to have our conduct honorable? And Peter really begins a new section here. Beginning in verse 13 on submission, he's going to talk about submission to earthly rulers. We're going to look at that tonight. He's going to go on to talk about submission of servants to masters. He's going to go on and talk about submission of wives to husbands. And in verse 7, even husbands, how they are to dwell with their wives and to serve them. And finally, in verse 8 through 12, how Christians are to mutually submit to one another, having compassion for one another, loving one another, being tenderhearted, being courteous. And so we might say that this entire section from verse 13 of chapter 2 over to verse 12 of chapter 3 is a section on the Christian's call to submission. But we're going to look tonight at submission to human rulers. And as we answer the question, how should we relate to civil authorities or to civil government? I want you to understand this truth, that as heavenly citizens, we must, not we should, but we must be good earthly citizens by submitting to the proper authorities. As heavenly citizens, we must be good earthly citizens by submitting to the proper authorities. We'll see three things: that we are to submit ourselves to every human authority, that we are to submit ourselves for the Lord's sake, and that we are to submit ourselves as free people. So the first thing I want to look at is that we are to submit ourselves to every human authority. Look at verse 13. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Now the word in the Greek translated here as ordinance is literally creature. every human creature. It's brought out here, ordinance. Some would take it as institutions. But even if you take it as ordinance or law or institution, what are behind laws and what are behind institutions but people? And furthermore, I think it's probably pointing us to individuals, because it goes on to clarify whether to the king as supreme, whether to the highest authority of the land, or to those who are appointed under him, because they're all sent by God. From top to bottom, in fact, he'll conclude in verse 17 that you are to honor all people in whatever role they are called to lead. So I want you to understand this, this call to us as Christians. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, to every human ruler. We cannot take this and reinterpret it to say, I'm only going to submit myself to those rulers who are Christian. It's not what this says. We also cannot reinterpret this to say, I'm only going to submit myself to human rulers with whom I agree. That's not what this says. It's pretty clear. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And notice, Peter here does not specify a certain type of government. He doesn't say submit yourself if it's a democracy. He doesn't say submit yourself only if it's a monarchy. It's simply submit to every ordinance of man. And remember who was in power? Rome. Roman emperors were in power at this time. Perhaps it was Claudius or even Nero. And Peter says, submit. Honor those in power over you. To put this in our modern context, honor and submit to your president no matter who it is. Honor and submit to your president no matter who it is. That rubs against the grain, I'm sure, of some people today. How can you be saying this? I'm not. God is. We should listen to him. Submit. And God gives us a good reason to do so. Submit yourselves to every human authority for the Lord's sake. Notice verse 13, for the Lord's sake, for our Lord's commandment, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember our Lord's words in Matthew 22. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Jesus did not involve himself in the political machinations of his day, did he? No, he did not. The reality is that we are citizens of heaven. We are also citizens of earthly nations. But we must always place the kingdom of heaven above every kingdom of this world. We must place the religious above the political. Not to do so, to get more involved with an earthly nation and all that is going on in it, than we are involved with our heavenly citizenship, would be to sink far below our calling. Now, this is not to say that we ought not to get involved in causes. But we ought to do so knowing where our true citizenship resides. For the sake of our Lord's commandment, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God. It is for the sake of his cause. Notice it is his will in verse 15. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. It's the same concept as we learned back in verse 12, that when those wicked men speak evil against us, they will see our good works, and they may even glorify God in that day. But even if they don't glorify God, when we do these things, when we follow God's will, doing good, submitting to those over us, who in verse 14 we're told are sent by God for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. We witness unto something, don't we? We witness unto the fact that we belong to another kingdom. We serve a higher king. We serve earthly authorities because we have been instructed by a heavenly authority to do so. This is what does Paul say in Romans 13? He says, there's no authority but that comes by God. Ultimately, God is in control. And God has willed our obedience, Peter says, so that by it he will silence the foolishness of ignorant men. The Greek word here that's translated silence is literally muzzle. I love that. Muzzle their mouths. It's the same word that Paul uses when he speaks of not muzzling the ox who's treading out the grain. This will put a muzzle on their mouth. Much like Jesus this morning silenced those Pharisees. So they will be silenced. When they, in their ignorance, foolishly accuse us of wrongdoing, they will be silenced by our behavior. And so there's a sense in which we do, when we do submit to authorities, we honor Christ, from whom all authority comes. But the opposite is also true. When we fail to submit to authority, what do? We dishonor Christ. We dishonor Christ. And we give others a reason to speak ill of our Lord. Well, this is not only then for the sake of our Lord's commandment, for the sake of His cause, as we are called to be witnesses in this world of Him, but it is also for the sake of His creation of all around us. God has willed civil government to do certain things, and we're told what that is here. Look at verse 14. Sent by Him for two things, the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. Now, does civil government always get this right all the time? No. But there's a general sense in which civil government is designed by God to curtail evil and to promote the good, to punish evildoers and to praise the good, to punish those who break the law. I am thankful that we have a civil government. I am thankful that criminals know that if they break into my home and try to harm me, that there is a system of justice that will hold them accountable. It would be a scary place to live where there was no civil government. It would be a scary place to live where there was a corrupt civil government, where people could pay them off. But we live in a land where we have laws, and yes, there are punishments for those laws. But also, notice, it's not only to punish evildoers, but also the praise of those who do good. Generally, when we keep the laws of the land, we don't have to fear. It's a big difference if you're driving down the highway and all of a sudden those lights come on behind you. If you're like me, you look down. You look down. Uh-oh. Was my foot turning into lead a little bit? But then if you see, oh no, 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 then you don't expect to be pulled over. But if you look down and you think, wow, I was not paying attention at all, you're thinking, well, I might have some explaining to do. And so that's the reality. If we keep the law, there's a general sense in which we do not have to fear civil government. But when we do not keep the law, there's a sense in which we must fear, because they are given the sword to punish evildoers. But notice what God says here. He says that we are to submit ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That we are to submit to those who are sent by Him to order society. This is His will. And the question is, how well do we do that? Do you submit to those in authority over you? Do you think well of those leaders who are put in authority over you? What's your social media look like? Do you post things out there that are derogatory toward those who God, whether you agree with them or not, has put into authority? 2 Peter 2:10 speaks of those unjust people, he says, who are reserved under punishment for the day of judgment. And he says, especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. Not only do they despise authority, but they are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, of those in power. And so I think we ought to look at ourselves. We ought to look at what we say before a watching world. Are we honoring those who God has placed in authority over us? It's clear. Verse 17 doesn't say honor some people. but honor all people. In fact, turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Paul says much the same thing. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. What is Paul saying? To disobey a human ruler, we are not simply disobeying that ruler, but we are disobeying the one who put him into power. We are disobeying God himself. And so we are then called to submit to every human ruler. We are called to submit for the Lord's sake. But the last thing that I want you to see as we look back in 1 Peter is that this is a willing submission that we are called to. We are to submit as free people. Verse 16 really continues on from verse 13. You know, we might read it like this because verse 14 and 15 are parenthetical. Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake as free. That is, as free people. Yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bond servants of God. As free people. As those who have been freed in Christ. We're going to get into that. Lord willing, next Lord's Day evening, I'm going to preach a sermon on Christian liberty from this text. But know that as it is in the context here, Peter is calling us to submit ourselves as those who are free in Christ. But remember this, our freedom in Christ is not a license to rebel against government authorities, even ungodly governments, because who was Peter writing to? He's writing to people who were the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These were Roman provinces under the Roman emperor who considered himself a god. And Peter says to them, submit. We might put it this way. We are free in Christ to submit to those He's placed in authority over us. There's no such thing as a Christian anarchist. We see a lot of that going on in our country, don't we? A lot of people taking the law into their own hands. It's not to be for those who claim the name of Christ. We are to willingly place ourselves under this authority. We are to be willing as free people to suffer the consequences of being under that authority. It doesn't mean that we ought not to strive in whatever place we are called to change unjust laws. We ought to. But we ought to use our freedom to do so in the right way, using the proper means, seeking to work to change laws. There's one thing I want you to understand. I'm talking a lot about submission to human authorities. There's one place and only one time that we are not free to submit. And that is when a human authority comes in conflict with the revealed will of God. It's what Peter and John said, Acts 5:29. Whether we obey men or God, you decide. And so this is not a call. Do not hear it as a call to obey every single thing that a human authority brings to us. If what they bring to you causes you or asks you to sin, to do something contrary to God's word, you are not to obey that command. If what they bring to you asks you to refrain from doing something positively that God calls you to do, you are not to obey that command. But sadly, I think that this can be abused by Christians who tend to find every command of government to be contrary to some part of God's word. I think for the most part, there's a lot that is not There's a lot that we may even use our liberty as a cloak for vice, as a cloak for disobedience. And it would be wrong to do so. It would be wrong to take and to read something into God's Word and say, because I read this in God's Word, therefore I have a right to disobey a lawful order from the government. Because that would be disobeying God Himself. And we are those who have been freed from sin, from misery, from all of these things in Christ. We are those, as we read earlier, who are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Why? That we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That our conduct may be honorable among all. And one of the ways in which our conduct is honorable among all is demonstrated by how we live under the governments that God has placed us. How do we honor those in authority over us? Whether we agree with them or not, we are called to honor them. And so how should Christians relate to civil government? Not by rejecting it, by forming our own shadow governments, not by trying to overtake it and make the government the church, but as Christians, as that holy nation, we have to understand that we have a citizenship in heaven, but we also are citizens here on the earth. We live with that tension of dual citizenship. We are living for a time as pilgrims among the nations. We are like those who in Jeremiah's day lived in Babylon, but were instructed to seek the peace of the city in which they lived, to continue on with their lives, to do good, to pray for peace. How do we do that? Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to acknowledge this truth. We have to acknowledge that God has placed authorities over us. We have to honor those that God has appointed as rulers over us in government, no matter who they are. And unless they command us to sin, we must submit to them, not begrudgingly, not complaining, willingly for the Lord's sake as those who are free in Christ. And not to do so is inconsistent with the command of Christ. What did He say? Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Now let us remember this. This is the most important part. That how we live in this world matters. We represent the King of Kings. And so how we honor an earthly king says a lot about how we relate to our heavenly King. Christians who claim the name of Christ and go out there and routinely rebel against lawful authority besmirch the name of their Savior. It's not right. We represent the King of Kings in whatever earthly nation we reside in. How we relate to those ruling over us says a lot about the honor of our King. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, help us to understand these truths and to walk in them, to know with wisdom where we are called to submit, knowing that God, every authority comes from You, and knowing where we are to proclaim that truth. It is better to obey God than men. This is a difficult thing, and we ask God that You would give us much wisdom in us. And that as You do that, God, we would represent You as our King. That we would show the watching world that we are not a divisive people. That we are not a rebellious people. But that we do, as those freed by Christ, seek the peace of the cities in which we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.